This is a HeadGum Podcast.
Hey, how's it going?
Just kidding. You've reached Tanner's answering machine. Leave a message at the beep.
Tanner! Pick up. Pick up. Okay, this can't wait. I have to tell you about Maggie Bloom. Okay, you know her, how her dad is like this big-time producer, Hayden Bloom, and he's like in charge of that movie that's coming out, Fatal Judgment, which has got really bad reviews. She's like super driven, but like, you know, like she's a straight-A student and everything, but she's like fallen in with this crowd who are like, you know the band in school that is called Vanish? There's that guy James is in it, and they practice in Rico Chavez's garage. Well, so, like, they were looking for a backup singer, and Maggie Bloom at first didn't want to audition, but she ended up, like, singing at one of their practices, and they chose her to be the backup singer. But her dad was having a premiere of Fatal Judgment at the same time as the Battle of the Bands that they were in, and Maggie, like, ended up saying that she wasn't going to be in the Battle of the Bands, but at the last second she decided to sneak out of the premiere with Ducky, who drove her to the Battle of the Bands, and Justin Randall was there, and he was watching. And he, like, I think he was, like, really into it. I think they're into each other, and I think they're an item. Anyway, they got second place at Battle of the Bands, and Maggie got in major trouble. And Vanish is, like, cool as hell, and they played one of her songs, and it was called Hey Down There. Anyway, call me back.
Jack, welcome to the show.
Yes.
My name is Tanner Greenring. Your name is Jack Shepherd.
Yes.
We record a podcast called...
What's it called?
I actually don't remember.
I think it's called Babysitter's Club Club, but that's
California?
A misnomer because we don't talk about babysitting is lame now.
Oh, babysitting is lame now, and actually, yeah. Jack, I have something to say about that, which is this.
Is it the name of the book we read?
I was a nervous wreck when I got home. Mom nonchalantly asked me where I'd been. I nonchalantly mumbled something about the
Wee Kids Club.
Wee Kids Club.
Yep.
She totally fell for it, despite the fact that the Wee Kids Club had been practically defunct for ages. Oh, has it?
Has it?
That's has news it? To fucking me, yep. Maggie Bloom. And we did read California Diaries, Maggie,
number three,
book one.
Maggie, book one.
Yep.
Yeah, it's easy to say.
I didn't realize that the Wee Kids Club was done.
You know what I'm just realizing, Tanner?
Yeah.
Well, two things. One, Orem, Open Road Integrated Media, left out the heart, didn't they? Because they couldn't even fucking be bothered.
Orem?
Orem? We paid $100!
I have now paid 60 American dollars.
Yeah.
To read three of your books, and you have disappointed me over and over again. And this week, it was just a slap in the face when you've refused to even print the heart emoji in We Heart Kids Club.
I'm not surprised that We Heart Kids Club has gone defunct if their flyers just say We Kids Club.
We Kids Club. And it's like, well, I'm not going to trust my kids with
we
kids.
Blank Kids Club is what it says.
We Kill Kids Club. As far as I know.
Yeah, it could be that. It's vague enough that I wouldn't trust it unless I were desperate for a babysitter.
Jamie and I use a babysitting club now.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. To watch our kid.
The irony.
And it's like a service. You fill out a form and they send you a babysitter.
Mm-hmm.
And last night we went to a basketball game as we are wont to do, and called the service and said, we need a babysitter. Uh-huh. And they said, great, Lauren will come and watch your son. She's Irish born, moved here from Dublin a few weeks ago. Okay. And she's like a trained babysitter. I'm like, great. I was like, that's weird. We've used this service 3 or 4 times. Uh-huh. And every single time it's been an Irish.
Oh, that's a thing.
And it turns out it's a thing. And
it's
this service specifically deals with Irish people because there's some kind of thing where Irish people get visas, but they can't do certain kinds of work. So they end up all being like bartenders and babysitters.
For like a summer abroad. Very common.
Yeah.
Very common.
We just had like a parade of young Irish women come and essentially put our kid to bed the second we leave and then sit and watch Apple TV for 3 hours until we get
home. Two things are going to happen. One is going to be a slow burn. The first thing that's going to happen is your like Apple TV suggestions, your Netflix suggestions are all going to be like Irish Jersey Shore, the Dublin Shore.
Yeah,
and that's the short-term thing.
Right.
The long-term thing is that Miles is going to grow up
with like a little
to
bit
have
of
like
lilt.
A thick Irish lilt, and that'll be beautiful. Both of those things are probably great.
I'm happy with finding that. I'd be happy with either of those things.
The second thing that I have realized from the We Heart Kids Club reference in Orem's Maggie book one.
Sorry, there is no, actually you're mistaken.
Sorry, the Wee Kids
there
Club.
There is no Wee Heart Kids Club.
The reference to Wee Kids Club being defunct is, let me tell you this. Let me run this by you, Tanner.
Yeah.
This year takes place contemporaneously with the events of the Babysitter's Club, does it not?
It must, because this is Maggie's Brittany moment.
That's, okay, right.
And when we meet Maggie in the BSC,
she already has
funky hair.
Right. Okay. That's good. Yep. Okay. Nice. So you've pinpointed it in time.
Yeah.
Here's a thing we also know. Whenever Dawn calls in to the Babysitter's Club
meeting.
There's
a character called Dong?
Dawn Schaefer.
Dawn.
She's in this book.
Okay.
Whenever she calls into the Babysitter's Club, they're like, oh, how's We Heart Kids Club going? And she's like, oh, great. It's going fine.
Right.
So somebody's fucking lying.
Yeah, I don't think I've seen a single moment of sitting in the three. We're one fifth of the way through these books.
Nobody's done any babysitting, and there aren't any babies in Palo City. And we just heard from Maggie that the Wee Kids Club is defunct.
Right, the Wee Kids Club.
Wee blank Kids Club.
There's so many bad words that fit into that blank, Maggie.
Even if
there's
like,
so few good words.
Like, we discipline kids. Like, even if it's, like, not the worst kind of thing, it's still not great.
Right.
We ignore kids.
We fight kids. And that just leaves more questions than answers, because, like, do you have fights with kids, or do you, like, fight them like they're, like, gamecocks?
Right. And if it's the latter, I'm interested.
Yeah,
what's the prize? If it's the former, no, that's terrible. Outrageous.
Outrageous.
Tanner, the book was a good one, and we loved it.
And it was and it was good.
Yeah, Maggie, what an interesting character.
She's so cool. This book was very good, and god damn do I love these books. And I'll say this, god damn do I love it when Anne writes these books.
Do you think this was Anne?
I think so. I have no reason to believe it wasn't.
So this is another question about Orin.
Here's why I think it was Anne. The Dawn book one had no preface.
Right.
Assumed it's Anne.
Okay.
Sunny book one had a preface that said, author gratefully acknowledges Peter Laurentius for his help in preparing this manuscript.
Mm-hmm.
Pete book. Yeah. This one, no preface.
Here's why I think it was Pete, Tanner.
Okay.
And that the shadowy group called Open Road Integrated Media is trying to erase him. Because I also noticed that they didn't put an acknowledgement to him in
and
the preface.
And it's Pete Erasure.
But here I am on the California Diaries Wikipedia page, and it says books number 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 9, 10, and 14 were ghostwritten by Peter Laurentius. So somebody's lying.
Someone's lying to us, and I think it's Orem.
I think it's Orem. There were also a bunch of very funny jokes that I'm not saying Anne is.
There were very funny jokes, and there were very good burns, and I don't think Anne is incapable, but I don't know what to think now.
Yeah, I don't know what to think either.
And I feel like I have, I'm like eating out of Scholastic's hand. Because yeah. I pride myself, Jack, on being a Babysitter's Club / Wee Kids Club
yeah.
expert. And I feel like I can see a I can taste a ghostwriter on the wind.
Yeah.
Like I can smell their urine on the mm-hmm. wind. Like
and that's a good way of saying it.
When they're still yeah. like a mile away from me, mm-hmm. you know?
Yep.
Mm-hmm. I'm like they're the predator and I'm the prey.
Mm-hmm.
And I've gotten very good at like recognizing signs of like ghostwriters.
Yes.
And now they've taken away, they're like wearing like fox piss, you know? Oh, like Orym has like doused them in fox piss.
So you can't tell.
And I can't tell. And I'm just like, now I'm like, well, I don't know. Now I don't know. And I'm questioning everything. And Scholastic's like, exactly.
That's exactly right. We want you to be confused. You've lost the scent.
I've lost the scent. And that's how they get you. And I'm like, I'm looking around nervously.
Yeah.
I'm at the watering hole and I'm looking around nervously. And it's just like, you can see the like Pete and Ann in the like deep yeah. grass right behind me, like getting ready to pounce.
You gave Hercules one of Pete's like sweat socks. And
go,
even Hercules is like,
like takes me to the Upper West Side. Like, he's here somewhere.
Yeah. I think it's Pete.
Okay.
I don't know how we're going to get to the bottom of it, but I believe this was written by Pete.
I think it was a great book, and it was just so – I think it was so narratively strong. I guess – you know what it comes down to?
Yeah.
Is this this book is very Tolkien-esque.
It's Tolkien-esque. That's exactly right.
It's punctuated by these poems and songs.
Mm, and they're so beautiful.
And which writer, Anne or Pete – would you describe as Tolkien-esque, I guess?
Well, they both like to weave lore in different ways. Like, I'm sure that Pete has written all of the, like, different, like, languages that all of his characters in this book that don't even appear. There's, like, a whole, like, gnome society that lives under Palos City, and he's written their whole language.
Right.
But that doesn't – he didn't even put that in the book.
Right.
But Anne thinks about the big narrative structure and the hero cycle, and like that's her great strength. And we have both of that in this book.
Right.
Maybe they collaborate. I did write you a poem.
Me?
Yeah.
Okay.
I wrote you a poem.
Okay.
Do you want to hear it?
Yeah.
So
Maggie wrote one for
Sunny.
Sunny.
And I actually based my poem that I wrote for you on the poem that Maggie wrote for Sunny.
Okay.
It's really beautiful. So Maggie in this book.
Sorry, did you say it's really beautiful? What does that mean?
I did say it's really beautiful. But and now that I'm kind of looking at it, I'm realizing that's a bad description of it because it
Is
doesn't
it
have any
beetles in it at all.
I'm looking through and I initially thought that I put a bunch, but I must have like, because I spent most of the day on this.
Right.
And I must have cut the beetles out.
Okay.
So it's not, it was beetleful, and now it's not. It's okay. Quite beautiful, though.
Okay.
Maggie, in this book, writes a bunch of poems. She's an aspiring, she's like become, at the beginning of the novel, she's become the like head of the poetry magazine at her school.
Yep.
And she also spends a lot of the book agonizing about whether or not to audition for this fucking awesome band called Vanish.
Yeah.
Who's my new favorite band. And
very cool.
And she writes a lot of lyrics for that.
Can we do a quick segment?
Okay, I was going to read you a poem.
It's called Vibe Check.
Okay, yeah, okay, definitely. Yeah. Okay, welcome to Vibe Check.
Welcome to Vibe Check. If you had to say the vibe of Vanish compared to like a band of the mid to late 90s,
yeah,
what would you say?
All right, so it's...
I've got a strong answer.
Okay. I want to say, I think, well, so at one point they have Maggie does like a piano solo part.
Yep.
I've got a cool one and like the same thing, but mainstream.
Okay.
The cool one is Sunny Day Real Estate.
Okay.
I think it's like diary era Sunny Day Real Estate, especially like the piano ballads. How will they know just where to find? And then the mainstream version of same vibe is Goo Goo Dolls.
Okay. And I won't tell no one your name.
What's your vibe?
Live.
Okay, yeah.
Looking at these lyrics yeah. and like kind of yeah. looking at the like, you know, mopey dread of it all.
Yeah, it's live.
It really rings live to
and
me.
And James is Ed Kowalczyk.
Yeah.
Okay. That's cool. I dig that. That's not too far off.
It's not too far off. It's like, I think Goo Goo Dolls is not bad, but Goo Goo Dolls is a little too pop.
Yeah.
Whereas like these guys have songs called like Fallen Angel.
So I wrote down a list of what all their songs that are mentioned. They are called, in order, Calico Rat Love Blues.
Mm-hmm.
Calico Rat is cool. Because I don't think that's a thing.
I mean, it could be.
And that makes me think Pete wrote this. Fallen Angel, Hookshot, and Hey Down There.
Is Hookshot like a hockey thing?
It's a basketball thing.
Oh, it is a basketball thing. I'm a basketball
I think that you have them in both. Really, that's embarrassing. Can I read you this poem?
It is a hockey thing.
Oh, I think it's both.
Basketball. Well, I don't get... Yeah, Kareem Abdul-Jabbar made it famous.
Yeah.
But I guess I don't get what their song would be about then.
I think it's probably
maybe
metaphor.
That's what it's about. Oh.
You think it's about Kareem Abdul-Jabbar?
No, I think it's about the confusion. It's about a dude.
Okay.
Who thinks the woman is talking about hockey.
Oh, God, how embarrassing.
And she thinks she's talking about basketball.
Yeah.
And it's like this miscommunication between like genders and these two people who are like skirting around this like interest
like
in one another.
Cultural phenomenon. Yeah. Wow, that's so profound.
Right.
I wrote you a poem.
Okay, I'm excited to hear it.
So Maggie writes a lot of poems in the book. One of the poems she writes is for Sonny, who's like going through a tough time.
Okay.
And the poem is like about their friendship. And so I kind of use that as a jumping off point, and I'd love to read it to you.
Okay.
For Tanner. We took a cab at 4 in the morning, with the winter sun still hiding. I was afraid I'd be lost by the time we got past the prequels. We watched 1, then 2, then 3. We were 37 and 32, respectively. And though the sun has risen, it's ever darker here, and I feel lost. Have I seen too much Hayden Christensen to enjoy the original trilogy? But you smiled through it. Rise, my friend. Blaze, my friend. Use your light and guide me through the darkness until the Force awakens. But it's based on a true story.
I have a question.
Yeah.
And I know that like the thing about art is like it's open to interpretation and the intention of the artist is not always the message to the audience.
Mm-hmm.
And I want to say my interpretation of this beautiful work of art.
Yeah.
That you've read to me.
Yeah.
I did like a deep read on it. And I think what the artist was trying to say is his friend's enthusiasm for Star Wars is so strong that it's made him rethink the prequel trilogy. And he is actually seeing some of the merits in it and seeing some of the...
Okay.
Getting some form of enjoyment out of it.
You know what? Your interpretation is just as valid as anyone's. Like, right. It's not what I thought while I was writing it is like not important.
Jack and I, when The Force Awakens came,
Force Awakens
came out.
Mm-hmm.
Jack and I and our friend Will.
Yeah, I erased Will from this poem.
Okay. That's fine.
It just didn't. I couldn't find a way to fit him in because I had a line that was like, "And we picked up Will Varner."
Right.
I mean, it just like
it doesn't work.
Kind of, yeah. It took away from like the poignancy of.
We went to a all-day film screening where they showed the prequels and then the original trilogy, and then it ended at midnight with a midnight screening of The Force Awakens when it first came out on like the Thursday that it came out.
Started at 4:30.
Started at 4:30 in the morning. So imagine waking up at 2 in the morning.
Oh, God.
To go watch Star Wars Episode 1, The Phantom Menace.
It sucked so bad. And then it's like, and then realize that like it's going to be 7 or 8 hours before you watch a good Star Wars movie.
I mean, that's subjective.
Yeah.
But.
But you helped me through it. And I'll always remember that and I'll always cherish that because your enthusiasm was infectious. Do you want to hear the one for Sonny for reference?
Yes.
For Sonny, we held hands at the Hollywood Bowl as the summer sun set. I was afraid I'd be lost if I let go. We were 2. We were 3. We were 13. Powerful. I thought that was powerful.
Yeah.
And still the sun sets, but my fingers grip air and I feel lost. Have I let go or have you? Rise, my friend. Blaze, my friend. I took
Rise.
That directly. That's Use like your light and find me, my friend. Oh, and that is actually, I think she's probably talking about. So 97 was probably the remasters.
Yeah.
So that she's talking about Emperor Palpatine as well.
Rise. Yeah.
Yeah. That's great.
Yep.
Yeah. And she anticipated.
And that's why you had the thought, I think.
Yeah, it might be. Well, I was just trying to think of like a profound experience that we'd shared together.
We've shared so many profound experiences together, and the Star Wars movie marathon is the one. We also did an Avengers movie marathon. Do you remember the 12 hours that we sat and watched Avengers movies?
Yeah, that was brutal, too. But that like gets better and better because it starts with Hulk.
It started with Hulk, and this was when the first Avengers movie came out.
Yeah.
We did the same thing.
Anyway, did you write me a poem, or?
I could.
Oh, no. Okay. No, if you didn't, that's okay. I just thought to write you a poem.
I feel like bad, I guess. I thought I didn't realize that we were going to be doing, I didn't know that we were doing poems.
No, it wasn't mandatory. I just, you know, I just was moved to write you a poem. I thought you might have, you know, been moved as well, but that's okay. Tanner, what we like to do is a segment where we talk about the words that were on the front of the book. While we were talking about kind of poetry and poetic sensibilities, mm-hmm. I thought now might be a good time to get into that segment.
Okay.
And it's a segment that we don't have a name for, but it's basically like, what would your diary words be? These words are written on my diary. And the words on the front of this diary.
I think it's called What's on Your Tombstone.
No, that's a pizza commercial.
But, like, it's sort of thematically. Well, those were pizza commercials in the 90s.
Were they?
A. And B, okay. It's kind of thematically right?
Okay, yeah.
So the segment is called What's on Your Tombstone.
Perfect. Okay, great.
And it's kind of got like a wet country western sort of vibe.
Great. And should I write another song or?
Yeah.
Okay.
And it perfect. Should be kind of country western.
Okay, great. I'll definitely do that.
Yeah.
And you can tell because that's definitely playing right now and not the song that I already wrote for this segment.
Right.
And the words on this diary, on Maggie's diary, the book is not called Maggie. It's called Maggie. Perfect. Always. Pressure. God, it's cool.
You know what one word stands out in that to me and troubles me?
What?
Always.
Always.
Is she eternal?
It does seem like that, right?
Always.
Perfect. Always. She's perfect.
She's perfect.
We know
She's
that.
She's great.
I really like her.
Yeah.
She's always, right? She is eternally and always has been.
Right.
And she is pressure.
She is pressure. Yeah.
Yeah. But what we like to do, I don't know if we need to take any cues from this other than that we should have three words. But what we like to do is we kind of go back over our day.
So here's how I feel like the structure works on this, unless you have the structure figured out for this one.
No, I hadn't really given it much thought.
Okay, I think the way this works is it's an Ed Sheeran song.
Okay.
And then it's a Bon Jovi song.
Okay. Oh, and then it's David Bowie.
And then
and
it's
Queen.
David Bowie.
Well, it's Queen song.
Queen song.
Let's just say Queen.
Queen. Feet. David
okay,
Bowie.
Great. But I'm going to need to have those words then describe my day.
You need to find a song title by Ed Sheeran that describes your day.
Okay.
A song title by Bon Jovi that describes your day. And a song title by Queen that describes your day.
I just Googled Ed Sheeran songs that describe my day.
Well, you're in luck, buddy, because he's a very relatable songstress.
Okay, so list of Ed Sheeran songs.
I think I literally said one of these song titles today. Oh, here's one. This one fits me perfect.
Okay, what so you want to go first?
I'll go first.
Okay, so you can tell me a little bit about your day if you like, or tell me about the song first, or and then tell me how it fits your day.
Well, there's a song title that I mm-hmm. feel like fits my sort of day and life very well, and Ed Sheeran's song title.
Yeah.
Which is Beautiful People.
Okay. I think that's a Marilyn Manson song.
Well, it's also...
And you've accidentally been looking at Marilyn Manson.
Okay, and you can also do a Marilyn Manson song if you want.
Okay. So Beautiful People.
Beautiful
and
People.
And how does that fit your day?
Well, I'm just, you know, look at me. Right?
Okay. Beautiful People.
Yeah. So my first term is Beautiful People, period.
Okay.
And then what's the next one? Bon Jovi?
Always.
By Bon Jovi?
Mm-hmm.
God, Bon Jovi has a lot of bad songs.
Don't you dare.
I got one.
Okay.
Living in Sin, baby.
Okay. And what happened today that made you kind of...
I guess I just sort of rejected the notion of... God.
Okay, wow, so big day for you today.
Yeah.
Okay. We can talk about it after. No wonder, you seem really shell-shocked, and yeah. I was trying to figure out what it was. Yeah. I thought it was just because you had like a bunch of meetings at the end of the day. But it's
I did
because
have that too.
At some point, the day started, you looked in the mirror and you're like, that's a beautiful people. Right there.
God is dead.
And then you're like, you know what else? I'm not so sure that there's like an all-encompassing power that like controls our lives and looks down on us.
Yeah.
Okay. And then your third one is...
Queen.
Okay.
Don't Stop Me Now, because
okay.
I did put in a full like 9-hour workday, and I'm got home, and now I'm here... podcasting, so don't stop me now because I have to work all the time. God is dead.
Okay, so I'm at the Scholastic Book Fair,
yeah,
and I'm a precocious tween,
yep,
and something jumps out at me,
yep,
and it's a book and it's got like kind of an edgy cover. And it's you, you got your headphones on,
mm-hmm.
and you're pointing at the camera,
yeah,
you got a big grin. And in like cool like handwriting font in italics, it says, "Beautiful people, living in sin, don't stop me now."
Yeah,
and I reach right past it and I grab a nice goosebumps.
Yeah,
and then I find a choose your own adventure and I get like both of those.
It's got like a clown eating a baby on the cover.
Yeah. okay, so we'll do mine. Let's see. Okay, so I'm looking at a list of songs by Ed Sheeran. Let's see what I did today. I did content analysis.
Okay.
On like
at any point today while you were doing the content analysis, were you like rattling off ideas sort of out loud?
Yeah, I probably did.
You were like thinking and like kind of
I do talk to myself while I'm working. Yeah. A little bit, yeah.
Okay.
Does Ed Sheeran have a song that's like strategy memo?
He's got a song called Thinking Out Loud.
Okay. That's pretty good.
At any point today, were you homesick for England?
No.
Okay. He's got a song called Take Me Back to London.
Oh, no. What about Antisocial?
Okay. Well, you and I are spending time together.
Yeah, but for most of today, I was holed up with an Excel spreadsheet by myself. So I'm going to choose Antisocial.
Okay.
And then I'm looking at a list of songs recorded by Bon Jovi.
Yep.
Is there something about that's like about bath time?
Slippery When Wet was the name of an album. There maybe was a song.
Oh, Cyril Cried in the Bath. A Teardrop to the Sea.
Okay.
A Teardrop to the Sea.
You think that your sewage drains to the sea?
Well, it's a metaphor. You don't think that works?
It's okay.
Okay.
Did you sleep with escort today?
No.
Shit.
I'm going to say no regrets.
Okay. You don't regret a single bit of today. There's nothing you did today that you regret.
I finished the entire content analysis and I bathed my child.
Okay.
No regrets. And then list of songs recorded by Queen. And this is, should be nice and easy. Cool Cat.
Oh, yep. Yep. That checks out.
I did hang out with my...
You hung out with a cat.
Cool Cat. Cool. Jenkins.
That checks out.
So you're at the Scholastic Book Fair.
Yep.
And?
I am looking for books with sex in it, obviously. And I see this book called Jack, and I'm intrigued because I know that Jack is...
Jacking it.
Could be jacking it.
Yeah.
And I'm like, I'll look at this.
Okay.
And I look at the cover, and it says Jack, book one.
Mm-hmm.
Or three?
Jack, diary three.
Jack, diary three. Antisocial. No regrets. Cool Cat.
Hell yeah. Fuck
that.
Yeah.
That does
Fuck
sound
yeah.
good, actually.
Yes. That's probably a sex in it.
It's a pivot.
Yeah.
For me, from what I went into the book fair looking for.
Yeah.
But I'm not pissed about it.
And then you get home and you're like, you're flipping through to find that like the sex scene that this like cool antisocial dude has no regrets about.
Yeah.
And you realize that it's about a guy who like got up at 8:30 and did a content analysis for like 7 hours and then successfully bathed his child and said hello to his cat before going to a podcast recording. But which is interesting.
It's fine. It's fine.
It's
fine.
Very interesting.
Yeah. Day in the life of a content professional here.
Yeah.
Should we take a break?
Yeah. Let's take a quick break and then we'll come back and let's talk about this band some more and the band practice and Maggie Bloom.
I would love to.
And we'll also talk about Fatal Judgment, won't we?
Yes, we will.
Okay.
All right. We'll be right back. Bye.
Everybody, it's Jack again with a brand new update about the delightful family mystery mobile game June's Journey. I have been making real progress solving puzzles and getting stuff to put on my cool estate in the fun world of mystery, danger, and romance that's conjured up by June's Journey, a game set in the roaring 20s about a daring young woman named June who's traveling to her sister's estate to uncover scandalous family secrets and customizing her own luxurious estate island in the process. Tanner, unfortunately, is still pretty convinced by the ad brief we were sent that he has actually been assigned on a real secret mission to uncover the killer of June's sister, Claire. The good news is that after some extremely frustrating conversations with the unbelievably patient people at the Central Connecticut Steamship Authority, I was able to clear up the fracas regarding the steamship that Tanner rented. But the bad news is that, if I'm reading this hastily scrawled missive correctly, he appears to have gotten himself horribly lost in a hedge maze in Würzburg, which I think is in Germany. According to the secret code on the back of the letter, which to be clear, he's just written this part upside down, he is in good spirits and he is hot on the tail of Grandma Heath, and I shouldn't worry, but could I please send him 40 ducats in an unmarked envelope so that he can bribe the butler, which sounds both complicated and questionably legal. I'm going to keep you guys posted on this, but in the meantime, you can discover your inner detective just like I have when you download June's Journey for free today on iOS and Android. I have to go. There is apparently a carrier pigeon at the door with a new message from Tanner.
Who drew that?
Isn't it good?
What is it? It's you're not supposed to say what is it.
Yeah.
You're supposed to say, oh, it's so lovely.
No, I don't think you're even supposed to praise it.
Oh, you're not supposed to praise it?
You're supposed to say, like, what were you trying to do here?
That seems mean, too, though. I think you're supposed to, like, start. You're supposed to, like, give them the start of the prompt. Like, oh, that's such a great...
I can't remember. Because I ran into it today. It's a picture that Cyril has drawn. Mm-hmm. And it's fine art. But I was like,
fine art, like fine art? Or do you mean like, it's fine?
No, like the former.
Okay.
So much so that I have like one of those TVs that like displays art when it's not displaying TV. And so I've put it up as the art that it displays.
The people we're in our nanny share with have that TV and they have it hung up on their wall as though it's art. And it honestly like surprised me when they invited us to their Halloween party. And like the piece of art that's always on their wall started playing TV.
It's so cool. Yeah, my neighbors got it and I got super jealous of it. And we waited a year and eventually I just like couldn't live without it. Have I told you about what happens with me and Cyril and this particular thing?
No.
Every morning, Cyril and I, or Cyril and Mama, depending on who gets him up, will change the art together. And he like selects it. And the way that he does it is he goes and he looks at the TV and he looks at it and then he turns around and he goes, this art is too bad. And then I'll pick one. I'll pick like a Van Gogh or something. And he'll be like, this art is too bad.
And then we just do that. Miles starts talking.
Till we find a good one.
I feel like he's going to have a lot of rad opinions about shit.
This picture that Cyril brought home today, I was like, oh, that's great. And I was like, I think I read some book where you're not supposed to say that, but whatever. But I asked him what it was, and he says it's a fish and a boat.
Fish is in the boat?
No, it's a fish and a boat. What do you think? It's highly abstract.
So here's the thing about art.
Yeah.
Every artist's work... Yeah. Regardless of intent, is open to interpretation by the audience.
Yeah.
And everyone can get what they need and want out of the art.
Did you get a boat and a fish?
I don't get a boat and a fish. I get a prairie. I get a prairie full of columbines.
Okay.
And there's
beautiful.
A creek. It reminds me of home.
That's gorgeous. I'll tell Cyril. I'm not going to wake him up, but I will let him know.
Okay.
And this has been
Dead Talk.
And it's been dad talk. We talk about being dads.
And art.
And this has been art talk.
In a lot of ways, it was both. Jack, I am so fired up.
Yeah.
There's no chapters in these books.
Mm-hmm.
They just have dates and times.
Yeah.
Because it's a diary.
Yeah, it's a diary.
And Maggie does it on her power book.
Hell yeah. Which is cool. And she brings it in the car. She sneaks out of her dad's premiere for Fatal Judgment. She brings her laptop.
I imagine it's one of those translucent blue and white like MacBooks.
Hell yeah.
That were like very popular back then.
Damn, that's cool.
That is cool.
Yeah.
Chapter one. It's the very beginning of the book.
Okay.
Sunday, November 9th, 10:43 a.m. God, that is sad. No, sad isn't the word. Bad. That's what it is. Bad. Awful. Whoever told me I could be a songwriter? No one. Just myself. And I was wrong. Open Road.
Integrated
Media.
Media.
Work with me here.
Work with both of us. It's the first thing to book. Did you look in your book?
Did you look in your fucking book? Because it's how the book starts. And apparently... There's Maggie Bloom wrote a fucking song
for us
and uploaded a PDF of it for us.
Yeah.
And it's just, it ain't there, buds.
You're so much smarter than me because I saw that too. And I was like, this is a really weird start. It's like just like in medias res.
Integrate Orim.
Orim.
It ain't there, buds.
It's not there.
And I know we've already done the Orim segment tonight, but I was looking at my notes and I felt the rage ichor rise in my gall. What's the ichor contained in?
Well, it was your bile probably rose.
My bile rose.
Your bile got out there, didn't it?
In my gallbladder. That's an actual thing.
Yeah.
What holds bile? Gallbladder.
Yeah. The gall of these fucking people. Jane Friedman and Jeffrey Sharp is their name.
Not too sharp.
From New York City.
Not too sharp.
Not too free, man.
Yes.
And they're hotshot publishers from New York City who fucking got too big for their britches, and they started Open Road Integrated Media.
More like Cutting Corners Integrated Media.
That's great.
Is that good?
Yeah.
Open Road, more like Cutting Corners. Orem.
Orem. Oh, really? It's mediocre.
That's good.
Yeah, that's what we say about them now.
Yeah.
Isn't it? And what happened? You took the picture out of the book, and we'll never know what Maggie's main poem
took
was.
The poem out of the book, or the song.
You took the heart out of We Heart Kids Club.
You took the heart out of We Heart Kids Club. And
very upset at
Orem. Jack, I'm gonna describe something from the book to you.
Okay, great. Perfect.
And I want you to tell me what I'm describing. Mm-hmm. Horrible, horrible night. Dad is in the studio. Mom is all upset. Pilar may have quit working for us. Zeke is in the dumps. He's also in the doghouse. Okay?
Okay.
And then the second passage here, mm-hmm. and I think you're going to start picking up what I'm laying down.
Okay.
Outside of my room, I heard the sounds of total chaos. Dad is rampaging around. He can't find his gold cufflinks. Mom is yelling at Zeke because he has chewed up the cuffs on his Brooks Brothers shirt.
Okay.
And I guess I was trying to figure out throughout this book whether or not Zeke was Maggie's brother or Maggie's dog.
Dog. That's a great – and I think it's left kind of open-ended for a reason.
It's Anne and maybe Pete.
Probably Pete. Yeah, thanks, Orem, for erasing Pete from this book, because you've left us just completely unmoored.
Are trying and I'm not trying to get too worked up at Orem right now.
Yeah,
because I don't think it's going to make for very good audio. But like, if Orem had given us a little bit more of a hint on who wrote this book, I might have an answer as to whether or not Zeke is a dog or a human.
I know Nola writes these,
right?
Well, maybe that's what it's. Peter and are, if you'll excuse the expression, throwing a bone to Nola, because they know she's going to come in and pick up on a later book. And so they're like, let's just leave it open ended.
Okay.
Whether Zeke's a boy or a talking dog.
I still don't know. And we have two more of these books to read, and maybe it'll become
two
a little
Maggie's.
More apparent.
And do you think that these books are like in the same world as the other diaries, or do you think they're like self-contained?
Well, we know the answer to that because Maggie talked about how annoyed she was with Sunny this week because she was always off like
with Carson,
flirting with this beach boy.
And talking about on the road. Right. Sunny sounds a little bit insufferable. And Dawn is insufferable in this book.
Dong?
Dawn. Did I say Dong or Dawn?
I can't tell the difference.
There's a character called either Dong or Dawn. And she's insufferable in this book. She's just like, you should fucking quit the band to go to your dad's premiere.
Oh, yeah. She's got all the wrong opinions.
Fatal Judgment? Who wants to see that?
Oh, well, I would.
I would go and see it.
Zeke
and it sounds
loved
like
it.
They went to the trouble of like reshooting a bunch of scenes because it bombed in a focus group.
Yeah.
So you know they like.
They care.
Put a lot of love into
it. It's passion.
Yeah, it's like the Sonic people. Like, we all hated them, and
now we're all fucking psyched about it.
Now we're just, like, amped.
I'm not going to lie. I am genuinely, every time I see, like, a new bit of, like, Sonic media, I'm just like, I'm
okay.
going to see this.
Yeah,
I'm probably going to see this and enjoy it.
That's perfect. You know what? Next time I come to New York, instead of doing a live show, let's just you and I.
We'll make our intentions
see the Sonic
clear
movie.
About when and where we're going to go see Sonic and just invite all of Baby Nation to come watch Sonic with us.
That's good. So here's a question for you. Yeah. I had a number of what I'm going to call Larange's moments in this book.
And should we call it Larange's moments?
If we don't, can we get to the bottom of whether
it's too ambiguous?
Pete? Can we get to the bottom of whether it's Pete?
I mean, do you want to DM him? Primary source.
Yeah, we could just ask Pete.
I'm going to shoot him a DM.
Okay, shoot him a DM.
Last time we DM'd with him, we asked him for a favor, and he did not follow through with it. So,
but he was nice about it. It broke Tanner. We asked him to send us an audio thing for our hit podcast, Dad Eats Cat Food. And he was like, okay. And then he just didn't, which is fine. And I wouldn't. So pull up Pete's DM. I think it's important that we get it from the horse's mouth. And we're going to workshop this together. You've got the DMs open. Does he still follow us, or is he like quietly blocked us?
No, he still follows us. Okay. We still have DM access.
Okay, so we'll start with an apology. We could write a poem.
Oh, I think that would be, given our last exchange, I think I'm going to keep this one on the level.
Pretty on the level. Yeah. Okay. All right. So have you got your DMs open for Pete?
I've got my DMs open. I'm saying, hey, Pete. Maybe I should say Peter.
maybe something even more formal. Good evening.
Good evening, Peter. Okay.
Yeah.
Good evening, Peter.
Sorry to bother you at such a late hour.
Oh, it is 9:30.
Yeah.
Sorry to bother you at such a late hour.
I'll
cut to the chase.
Open Road Integrated Media.
And we do want to invoke them here, huh?
Well, that's scary, and maybe we shouldn't.
I mean, I'm sure they're signing paychecks for him, you know?
Yeah, okay. All right. So let's keep them out of it, because we don't want to get him in trouble. That's the last thing we want. We just read a...
How about this? Our podcast has moved on to the California Diaries.
Well, here's a more elegant way of saying that. We just read a fascinating novel.
Scintillating?
Or should we say scintillating? I would say scintillating. We just read a scintillating novel called California Diaries, comma, Maggie, Diary 1. Perhaps you've heard of it?
Maybe you've heard of it. I'm going to keep it slightly more casual, or should I say perhaps?
No, that's fine. Maybe you've heard of it? Question mark?
Uh-huh.
And then we'll just give him a brief reminder of the plot, because it's probably been...
Some time,
if he did write it.
30 years.
In it, Maggie Bloom auditions to be backup singer in Vanish. Maybe you've heard of them? Question mark?
Band called Vanish. Maybe you've heard of them?
Question mark? They've written such songs as Calico Rat Love Blues, Fallen Angel, Hook Shot, and Hey, comma, Down There.
And to remind me, do you put the comma in or outside the parentheses?
You'll put the comma.
The quotation marks.
American style is inside the quotation marks.
Okay.
Our question to you is this, colon.
Uh-huh.
Did you write it?
Did you write this book?
Because they left your name off of it.
I don't want him to think that.
Oh, did he write those songs?
Yeah.
Well, if he wrote the book, he did write the songs.
That's true.
But say, did you write this book? Question mark.
The digital ebook we've purchased.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's good. With our actual money.
No, that's going to make it sound like we didn't actually do that.
Yeah, and we did.
Makes it sound.
A very nice person offered to give me their ebook copies, but it's too late.
Makes it unclear who
originally wrote this.
Who originally authored this book.
That's perfect. And that's great. And it's like fathered. Was it you? Please tell us we were dying to know. And then we could say, like, no worries if not. I always like to end an email with no worries if not. Do you want to hang out tonight? No worries if not.
No, how about this? No worries if you're preoccupied, or no worries if you're busy.
Yeah.
And then I'll do a winky face.
I think that's kind of sexually suggestive.
I don't think it has to be.
It leaves a lot open to interpretation.
Because you could be doing anything, right?
Okay, yeah, that's fine.
Okay. Good evening, Peter. Sorry to bother you at such a late hour. I'm reading something I just sent Peter Larangis.
Okay. Oh, you hit send.
Yeah.
Okay.
So good evening, Peter. Sorry to bother you at such a late hour. We just read a scintillating novel called California Diaries, called Maggie Diary 1. Maybe you've heard of it? Question mark? In the novel, Maggie Bloom auditions to be a backup singer in a band called Vanish. Maybe you've heard of them? Question mark. They wrote Calico Rat Love Blues, Fallen Angel, Hookshot, and Hey, Down There. Our question is this, colon. Did you write this book? The digital ebook we've purchased makes it unclear who originally authored this book. Was it you? Please let us know. We are currently recording, so we'll probably read your response on the podcast. No worries if you're busy.
That's perfect.
Okay. And we'll just wait for, and hopefully we'll get a response.
And so should we just wait now, or should we talk while we wait, or?
You think we should kill time? What if he never gets back to us?
Okay. Well, so we can't do.
Well,
any
I know one thing we can do while we wait.
What? Yeah.
And Jack gets this.
It's our bird of the week, and it's sunburn because it's on the beach.
Mm-hmm.
And Maggie did get a sunburn, didn't she? Not Maggie, sorry. Sunny did get a sunburn,
last week.
Cause she, and she still has it because it looks like she's still going back to the beach in search of Carson, but he's probably moved on. He's a drifter. His parents
don't. He's a drifter. He's probably in like San Diego or Santa Barbara now.
He's on the road. And I think we established that he is a car and he's the son of a car and he's probably driving somewhere.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
That's canon.
Then that's canon. And so he's a car. You're not going to find him.
It's one
probably
of the
got a fresh coat of paint.
The things that you would have previously qualified as a Larangis moment,
mm-hmm.
could one of them possibly be a burn?
Yeah.
Okay.
Definitely. There's one burn that is also very Larangis, but there are a number of burns in this book, which also makes me think it might be it's Larangis, at least Larangis adjacent. If Anne wrote this, she was on the phone with Pete the whole way through.
Okay.
Let me tell you that
much. I'll warn you now, if Pete does get back to us by the time we're done recording, you and I have some fucking work to do, and I hope you're prepped for that.
In what sense?
Well, we would have to pen and sing
A
Larangis Moment theme song.
Yeah.
Set to the
and
tune
we only
of a,
have
a mid to late 90s classic.
18 minutes left.
Right.
Yeah.
So is that something you're prepared for?
I'm always prepared for that. Why don't you tell me your best burn that you found in this book? It's where we talk about what the burns were.
Well, there's one very great burn.
Yeah, there's a great one.
There's a lot of good burns. There's a lot of like very subtle and biting and witty burns that maybe if you're at like a cocktail party, this is the kind of thing you bring up, but that's not what I'm going to do here.
Okay.
What I'm going to do here is talk about the classic American bread and butter steak and potatoes burn.
Okay. I know what you're talking about. I could tell just from looking through my list of burns which one is calling out and singing out to you right now, because I've just, it's just jogged my memory and I can see one that you're like Odysseus tied to the mast. Because you wanted to hear it, even though you knew it was dangerous. And it is, the song is so beautiful and so bright and so luminescent that you were straining at your ropes. But all the other sailors have like plugs in their ears and they're deaf to your cries. But you break the ropes anyway and you're reaching out for it. And let's hear the burn that you could not resist, Tanner. What was it?
I still haven't decided on a look. It may not matter. I may not be able to sing on Tuesday anyway. I still have a node on my throat. I don't know what that means exactly, but towards the end of the rehearsal tonight, I was totally hoarse. And James said, "You sound like you have a node." He said I have to get a lot of sleep, drink tea with honey, and not speak under any circumstances. Well, that made tonight's dinner a little difficult, and it is Thanksgiving.
Oh, yeah, it's Thanksgiving.
I pointed to what I needed. I wrote
See,
messages.
If this was a Babysitter's Club book, we would have had a fucking parade.
Right, yeah.
But this is
we
like...
We would have known it's Thanksgiving because we would have had a parade.
All we know about Thanksgiving is that, like, Maggie is, like, preoccupied during Thanksgiving dinner because she's, like, got, like, Battle of the Bands coming up.
Yeah. I pointed to what I needed. I wrote messages. I claimed I had laryngitis. And I went, you know what? Maybe you're right. Maybe it is Pete, because who else would, like... put their own name in, like, their own signature.
Yeah, I have laryngitis. And do you have laryngitis? That's Pete. He doesn't even need to respond to us.
He's
Pete.
Signed the book here.
Everybody here has laryngitis.
Right.
Or it's Anne. And Anne is secretly saying that she's got laryngitis.
She's got laryngitis. laryngitis. Yeah.
That's good. And if he does respond, do tell him that we're on to him. And we know about laryngitis now.
I wrote messages. I claimed I had laryngitis. I drank a quart of orange juice. Luckily, Mom and Dad aren't home. Dad's still at the office and Mom's at a dinner party. Pilar's back, though. Yay! And seemed amused. She called me Harpo. Zeke called me Fardo and thought he was being quite clever, but I ignored him.
And the song becomes deafening. And even the sailors who have the plugs in their ears,
they can hear
start
it.
To feel strangely
they
compelled.
They heard Fardo and they're just like, ugh.
And turn the ship towards the rocks to get another taste of that beautiful sound.
Yeah. Fardo.
And that's gorgeous. And I thought you might like that burn.
Yeah.
Okay, here's my burn. And here's what I'll say about this burn. It's the type of burn, Tanner, that might give you laryngitis.
Okay.
You might get laryngitis from this burn. Let's just say that.
I'm staring at this DM that I sent to Pete. It remains unread.
Unread.
Yeah.
So he's learned. So in the past, he just left you on read.
Yeah.
Last time we reached out to him, there was like a long period where he had read it and didn't respond.
I would say there's a long period. It was November 1st until now, tonight. Well, and possibly beyond tonight.
I think he's going to want to claim ownership. If he wrote this,
yeah,
he's going to want to claim ownership.
I should have said something about how much we loved it, because we did love it.
We loved it.
Yeah.
But what if it's not him? If it's Anne, then he'd get jealous. He'd be like, oh, fuck you.
I think that signature, I think signing it with the laryngitis thing.
Okay. Well, here's what I'll say. The bird I'm about to read to you gave me laryngitis.
Okay.
It's Maggie talking about Sunny. I'm sorry. I'm in no mood for her today. At her locker, she had the nerve to tell me I needed to take a walk on the wild side. I wanted to say, yeah,
cool thing to say.
When pigs fly.
That's a dumb thing to say.
She can walk on the wild side. She can drop out of school and run away. She can do whatever she wants. Where's she going to end up? What's she going to do for a living? What's she going to put on a job resume? Many years experience wild side walking?
I think saying to someone, take a walk on the wild side, is kind of cool.
Yeah.
Saying when pigs fly is not cool, but saying, like, what are you going to do with that experience? Put on your resume.
That's cool.
That is cool.
That's cool. You've hired people.
I've hired many people. Some of them went on to be very successful people.
Yeah.
I heard one woman who talked about how much her cat farts, and I thought that was cool. I was like, oh, you're at a job interview, and you won't stop talking about how much your cat farts.
So that's that siren song again for you.
Yeah. It's just like, you got it, kid.
If you picked up a resume and it said many years, it doesn't even say the number. It just says many years experience wild side walking.
I would at least bring him in for an interview.
Yeah. Oh, and it's definitely him, huh?
I said bring them in for an interview.
God forbid a woman should apply for a job. Is there anything else you'd like to talk about, Tanner, before we leave?
Oh, my gosh. Well, I did have, I guess, I had more burns, but I don't know whether to call them laryngitis moments now, and I don't know if that even counts. So,
yeah.
I don't know, and Pete's not getting back to me, and I'm lost in the woods now, and I'm a fawn, you know? I'm a fawn, and my mother's been shot by Pete, and...
Okay. Do you want to talk about that?
I don't know.
Okay.
I don't know. I've got nothing.
You got nothing.
I got so much. I've got so much and yet so little because I don't know. I'm so ill-informed. I'm so ill-equipped for this right now.
Let me ask you this question then, Tanner.
Yeah.
Did you ever at this point have, as what the kids these days are saying, the experience of a hashtag swing?
Hashtag swing.
And it's hashtag swing now.
We're not worthy.
We're not worthy of your praise and adulation for having come up with this concept ourselves. Swing is what it's like a onomatopoeia for a boner sound.
My so-called babies, you know when you get boners?
Yeah.
Or you know when, if you're not someone with a male phallus?
Yeah.
You know when you're around someone who does get a boner?
Yes.
You know how you can kind of hear like it's soft, but it's there.
Yeah.
It's like, swing, swing, as it kind of like pops up.
And it's like, what if that was a hashtag?
Right. What if that was a hashtag? Yeah.
What if that were a hashtag, I should say. Right. Were there any moments in this book that made you want to say hashtag swing and kind of put it all over social media? And then probably the hashtag PSCC podcast, hashtag Tanner. There's not going to be a lot of room for content.
I guess James is pretty dreamy.
James is dreamy.
I don't know. Not dreamy enough for me to like get a boner so sudden that it like cuts through the wind.
I got a couple, and they're
like
mostly
like a samurai sword.
Oh, okay, that's cool.
Like, shing.
And it feels like the universe itself has been cut in twain.
Right.
It's so sharp.
Right.
Not one of those. I did have one of those for Justin Randall.
Okay.
And Justin Randall. Okay. Here's the deal. Let's see if we can get to the bottom of this. I think that Justin Randall likes Maggie Bloom.
Well, we know he does. He reveres her.
How do you know that? Oh yeah, we know that. We know
from,
that he's
from okay. the Dawn book.
Yes, from the Dawn book, and we'll try to tread carefully here. But she falls into a pool,
and her heaving.
Okay.
I'm treading carefully. Yeah, I'm choosing my words very carefully.
You already said heaving.
It's like yeah. It's a shallow pool with like rocks, stepping stones, and some of the stepping stones are actually turtles. You know, and it's like
you've got those infrared goggles on, and you can see the lasers.
Yeah, heaving.
Yes. Okay, and now you've paused now. Because I think starting with
I want to say chest genitals, and I know that's not right.
You said chest genitals before, and that was,
and I couldn't remember if that was right or wrong.
Let's move past it, and here's can I take a run at it?
Yeah.
Okay. So Maggie Bloom.
Yes, and be careful.
Fell into a pool.
Is this the same pool with the stepping stones and the turtles, or a different one?
I don't know. I'm lost. It's Miss Krug. It's a Miss Krueger's house. Freddy's wife.
Right, Freddy Krueger's wife.
And as she gets out, Justin Randall catches a sight of
her
heaving chest genitals.
Yeah. I think it's a question of context.
Yeah.
Because when you say it in a sentence quickly, it sounds fine.
Yeah. And that's the way you do it.
Yeah.
And I've had media training, and that's the difference.
It sounds like you're like a medical professional, you know? Like, yeah. Oh, it's her heaving chest genitals.
Yep. And so we know that he is in awe of her.
Yeah.
And he says, whoa. And that's what happened in book one. I'm glad we've revisited that. And
Julie Lawrence.
But so we know that he's interested, but we don't know if he likes her. But I think he likes her.
I think he's starting to.
Let me read you this passage. I sidled over to the keyboard. I took a deep breath. I nodded to Bruce, and he started the bass line again. For real. Looking out into the crowd, I saw a sea of eyes like little lanterns staring at me. And then I recognized two of those lanterns. They belonged to Justin Randall, and they were trained on me. My fingers weighed about 3 tons. They stayed on my lap when I was supposed to begin playing. Bruce vamped on the bass for another 4 measures. I closed my eyes and thought about the song. Nothing but the song. The song that I had written with Justin Randall in mind. Why do you look at me the way you do? When I opened my eyes, all I could see was Justin. As if the whole audience had merged into one face. Leave you there. That's actually kind of creepy now that I think
it's
about
like
it.
It's like MODOK.
Yeah. That's creepy now that I think about it.
Yeah.
I had initially thought of In a Station of the Metro.
Okay. And I thought of MODOK, the guy from Marvel Comics who's just like a big face.
The apparition of these faces in the crowd, petals on a wet black bough. Ezra Pound. It's a different reference.
We think that Ezra Pound was or was not talking about MODOK.
Well, it was, when did MODOK come out?
MODOK, an acronym for mental/mobile/mechanized organism designed only for killing, is a supervillain appearing in books published by Marvel Comics. First appearance, Tales of Suspense 93 in 1967.
Okay, this is 1913. So I think
the influence
is probably
right. He's not specifically talking about MODOK, but I think Jack Kirby probably drew inspiration from Pound.
Okay,
so Ezra Pound didn't know he was talking about MODOK, but
he was
talking about MODOK, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, well we'll take that as read.
And speaking of taking that as read, it sounds like Pete is leaving us.
On red. Here's my plan.
Okay.
If Pete should decide to grace us with a response.
Take a moment out of his fucking busy celebrity day to give something back to the fans.
We'll just record some pickup audio and do it as the outro.
Okay, perfect.
We'll each pick our Laranges moment. I'll record a quit song.
Great. Okay.
Yeah. He bought you Pete, if you're listening, and I know you are.
Yeah.
He bought you as much time as we fucking could, man.
Yeah.
It's been exactly 22 minutes since we sent you that.
What the fuck are you doing? God, man. Fucking celebrities.
Fucking celebrities.
He's probably like smelling his own feet.
I should have Hercules go get you sent.
Yeah.
Pete!
You got some of his socks, right?
Pete, did you write Maggie one?
Give Hercules a sock, throw him out into the Brooklyn winter.
Yeah.
And I bet he'll come back faster than Pete has gotten back.
Yeah,
to us.
Boy. Yeah.
What we're going to do is we're going to leave and go.
Yes.
And what I'd like to do is leave and to go. And first of all, to thank you, Tanner, for bearing with me.
Mm-hmm.
And I would like to not thank Pete Larangis.
Well, I don't want to get on his bad side.
Okay. Thank you to Pete Larangis for being an inspiration and a guiding light of my life.
And I want to thank MODOK.
And thank you to MODOK with your big face.
He had a big face and a big personality.
Thank you to Ezra Pound.
Thank you to Ezra Pound.
Not your politics, but yes to your poetry.
Oh, is he problematic?
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Well, I guess I should say this then, too.
Yeah.
Thank you to Tolkien, not for your politics, but for your prose.
Oh, that's funny. And Politics and Prose is the name of a bookstore in D.C.
Okay.
And is that interesting? But MODOK, we've thanked, right? Yes?
Let's just do it again, just okay. For coverage. Yeah. Thank you, MODOK.
Thank you, MODOK. What does he do? Is he bad?
He's bad. He's just kind of a big face, and he shoots lasers out of his head.
I'm also thinking of the face of Bo in Doctor Who.
Oh, maybe sure.
That's
what she's
referring to?
Could be.
Should we say... And thank you to the...
And thank you to the face of Bo. Yeah.
And I love you and I kiss you, baby nation, and my so-called babies. And what we like to do is say goodbye and to leave. And please do remember to subscribe to our Patreon. It's wonderful. And it's about the Little Sister books. And we sing the descriptions. And you can get a whole new show every week for just $5 a month. It is a great way to support our work and keep us doing what we're doing. We put a lot of love and effort into it, and we are very grateful to the people who have already subscribed. Please do join the growing nation of elite babies and subscribe over at patreon.com/BSCC podcast.
And I just want to quickly clarify.
Yeah.
They're not physically growing.
The what?
Or I assume most of them are not physically growing. They're not like expanding in size.
What is?
You said the growing audience.
Oh, yes. Okay, yeah.
And I just want to clarify, they're not like, getting physically bigger.
That we know of.
I mean, unless they're children and they're like literally growing, but like they're not like expanding or like growing in height.
And I appreciate that.
Yeah, and buy the merch.
Okay, thank you. That was what I was hoping you would say.
bit.ly/BSCC merch.
Yeah.
We got stickers, we got shirts, we got a tote, we got pins.
It's good.
Anything a growing body would need.
Yes. And please join our Facebook group. It's so fun in there. And that is growing. The group is growing. It's called Baby Nation. You can find it by going to
our
Facebook
page. And when you say the group is growing, do you mean
the
Facebook group is growing? Do you mean that the people in the group are physically growing?
I think both.
Frankly. In size.
Yeah.
Because that's worrying.
Yeah. But also wonderful. And you can join it by
what if they become too big?
Yeah, and that is a concern.
Like 100 feet high.
Yeah, and there won't be room for you in the group before long, so you should join now.
Okay, that's a good insight.
Yeah, this group is expanding to fill the space.
Right.
It's called Baby Nation. You can go to our fan page, which is called Babysitters Club Club, but the real action happens in the Baby Nation Facebook group, and it's fun and it's good. Rate and review our show on iTunes. This week, we read a novel that was called California Diaries, number 3, Maggie. Perfect. Always. Pressure. Next week, we're going to be reading a book called California Diaries, book number 4, Amalia.
Ooh, Amalia's a new friend, and I'm surprised that she gets her own book.
Love. Not.
Fucking got me.
Yeah, I got you, didn't I? You're like, oh, Amalia falls in love. Not.
Yeah.
Okay.
That's a poor rat.
And it's Borat.
She's doing a Borat thing.
And what? Did Pete get back to us?
Pete has not gotten back to us.
Okay. Thanks, Pete.
So thanks, Pete.
My name is Jack Shepherd.
My name is Diana Greenring.
Maggie is playing with Vanish now. And the way she sings, you would think that bands had just been invented. In '86, in an high world, the first
Hey, Baby Nation, it's Tanner. I am on my way to work this morning, but I checked my DMs, and I sure enough have a new DM from Peter Larangis. He sent it at 1:32 a.m., and he says, let's see here, let me get his exact language right, because I don't want to misspeak for Peter. He says, hi, yes, I did. And again, the question was, did you write California Diary number 3, Maggie, book 1? So, I guess without further ado, sorry, I am on the streets of New York City because it is, morning on my way to work after having recorded last night. Call him Sweet Pea. We are his fans. He makes us laughs. He dances like a nymph. He's likely on NM's payroll. Call him Sweet Pete. Architects world's nipple deep with you. It's giving me a thrill like waves we crash in his sweet sea. This is Larangis. This is Larangis. This is Larangis, and he makes us bust. And that, by bust, I mean like bust up with laughter, not like bust, you know. So anyway, here's my Larangis moment. It's from Maggie Book 1. Let's see here. When she was the old Sunny, I never minded her starry-eyed attitude about the movie business. She thought it was so cool that we had intercoms in every room, infrared burglar sensors, the landscaped pool, movie people visiting the house all the time, and my private at-home lessons. Never mind that the alarms go off by themselves in the middle of the night, or that Dad holds loud poolside meetings outside my bedroom window, or that I have to play piano all the time for strangers in power suits, or that Dad's mood swings go up and down in the box office grosses, and so does Mom's drinking. I even showed Sonny that pathetic photo of me as a newborn with the words, a Hayden Bloom production, taped to my bassinet. She thought that was cool, too. So that's my Larangis moment. He really crafted this world. It's so beautiful. And then there's a great joke in there about Maggie's producer dad putting Bloom production on her crib. Jack, I'll throw it over to you.
Thanks for that great Larangis moment, Tanner. When I heard the news that Sweet Pete had graced us with a response, I was not in a position to record myself, but I have been able to find an online voice generator that sounds almost exactly like me, so I doubt anyone will notice the difference. My Larangis moment was when Sonny tells Maggie that Justin Randall played the gentleman visitor in last year's high school production of The Glass Monastery, and Maggie is too polite to point out that the character was actually the gentleman caller and the play was The Glass Menagerie. Ha 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 ha. Classic Pete. Bye now.
That was a HeadGum Podcast.